The networking that's not effective is when everyone's just trying to get something from someone else. It's like those networking events where everyone shows up with an agenda of what you're, you know, you're just trying to see what everyone's really after. That networking, I don't think is very effective. I think the right way to do this and to put yourself in places is to, and this kind of comes into one of the things I think is really good about what I really look for in product managers is curiosity.
This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management.
Welcome back to Path into Product. It is great to have you with us. We're excited today. We have John Frank with us. He is currently a product manager at Wix and officially kind of has about 6 years of product management. We're going to get into that a little bit. Welcome, John. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Well, let's just jump in. And we always start with this question, and we think it's important to start with it. And so we'd love to know from you, how do you define what product management is?
Sure. Yeah. I think anyone that's a product manager gets this question whenever you get asked what you do. Everyone says, what is a product manager? And I have a short answer I give people that I don't think is fully correct. My short answer is I prioritize work for developers. Because that's what they can understand quickly and we can move on with the conversation unless we want to, you know, dive fully into it. So that's my short answer, but I don't think that's 100% true of everything that a product manager does. A product manager at their core, their responsibility is to drive value for the customer and then for the business. That's how I view it. So that brings a lot of different things with it. So driving value means you have to know your product inside and out and know what needs to be done for it, how you need to grow, how you need to take care of the people that are using it, and ultimately, you know, for the business sake, drive revenue for them to keep it growing and more people on whatever platform or product it is. And so that's, I think, kind of the responsibility of a product manager. But then, you know, in functionality terms, it helps when I picture it as a product manager being a funnel of sorts, where there's a lot of ideas, a lot of requests, a lot of features that come at them, and they're responsible for taking those, refining those, and then ultimately funneling those down to actually be built and delivered.
I love how you say, you know, take care of the people that are using your product, and also the funnel of ideas, requests, and features. Could you talk a little bit about that funneling process? Where do these ideas come from? How do you go about funneling these ideas, and then sort of what's the output of that process?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it varies depending on the product manager and the company they're working for. But a product manager will get, you know, bombarded in a sense from their internal stakeholders. That could look like the C-level team. It could look like the marketing team. It could look like the sales team. Different people that have things they need to have happen on the product. Or it could be coming directly from the customer, a number of different customer feedback channels that are coming in. Or it could be bugs and issues, you know, maybe technical debt that's coming in that needs to be addressed. So all of those come at a product manager, and their job then is to prioritize those in a way that makes the most sense for the business. And so there's a constant battle of figuring out what are the trade-offs between all these different things. How, you know, how do we trade off some technical debt with a new product feature with limited development time? So it is a lot of that balancing act.
I love that, John. It is a lot of trade-offs, and you're doing that all the time. If I was a listener and just heard you say that you need to know the product inside and out, I would kind of sit back and go, that doesn't sound appealing, right? It doesn't, I got to figure out the product and then what, you know? So help us understand when you say that, what do you mean, know the product inside and out? And what does that mean for kind of day-to-day product people?
I think, you know, to know your product inside and out, you know, right now in my current role, I work on a very technical, expansive product where I know only, I would say, a subset of that product. But I need to know who it's serving, why this product exists in the world, and what benefit someone is getting out of using our product. And so that's the level of inside and out. You know, you might not need to know how every bit of code, if it's a technical product, executes, or every single page, what's on there. But you need to know that the big picture of how your product fits within the company and fits broadly in the world in order to be able to actually be a good product manager and improve it over its life cycle.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you for setting up that foundation for us. So let's dive a little deeper into your path into product, right? You're sitting here today, product manager at WEX, but you weren't always a product manager at WEX, right? So let's go back 5-6 years and tell us a little bit about your path into product. Where did that path start?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think I'll go back just a little even further than 5 to 6 years to give the whole story here.
Perfect.
And I know from previous episodes, everyone says they haven't taken a traditional path into product management. And I think that's because, quote unquote, there is no traditional path right now into product.
I think the non-traditional path is the traditional path.
Exactly. I see good things on the horizon. There's a lot more work being developed now for associate product manager programs and just other ways that I think, you know, if we fast forward 10 years from now, there will be maybe a more standard traditional way. But I think that's the beauty of product management is people can come from all sorts of different backgrounds. Okay, so to get into how did I end up as a product manager, I want to go back to when I was actually kind of graduating high school and looking at college. And at that point in my life, I had no idea what I wanted to do, after college or in college at that matter. So I would spend hours at a time scrolling through degrees, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. Eventually ended up looking at computer security. It was a really good field at the time. I think it still is a very good field. I've always been fairly technical savvy. I was the kid that people would call to have them fix their computer or connect their printer when it disconnected. So I'm like, all right, this seems like a good fit. And so that's why I started my major as. And I got about 2 semesters in, taking about 3 programming classes, and realized this is not for me. I can see classmates that this clicks for them and they can naturally do this. I can code, but it's not the same way that my brain works. And so I'm like, I can't do this day in and day out. I'm not going to enjoy this. So I'd actually taken an entrepreneurship course in my first semester, and that intrigued me, the idea of running my own business one day. And so ended up switching to a business admin major. That's what I graduated with. And then at the same time, I was working at a landscape company. So I was working there part-time during the summers because it worked out well with school schedule. And the owner came to me. It was a small company, around 15 employees. The owner came to me and said that he was hoping to step away from the company in about a year and asked, I just graduated with a business degree, asked if I wanted to take over operations of the company. So I had no other real idea still at that point what I wanted to do long term. And so that's what I did. Ended up being at that company for a total of about 8 years. And my role, I would describe it as half kind of project manager and half like sales and operations. So what my role consisted of, I would go and meet with customers, figure out what they needed done with their landscape, and then go back, put together a quote of how much it would cost, materials, how much time it would take, send them a proposal if they agreed. Then I would start a installation crew on that project and pass the project over to them. So I did that for a while. And then around the same time, actually right at the end of college, I was needing to pass a class because I was doing a class for that involved a project for a company. And this class I needed to do, they wanted me to do SEO for them. And I had no idea what SEO was back then. A lot of people didn't know what SEO was. And I had a friend who had just moved here and had just ranked a website to number one on Google and had mentioned SEO. So I was like, hey, can I buy you coffee? I just want to be able to pass this class and just teach me a few things so I can pass this class. And so she taught me a few things about SEO. That kind of got some wheels turning. And I was like, this is fun. I enjoy doing this. This was the fun time for SEO, where if you knew what you were doing, you could rank websites in a couple months. Some like white hat, not quite black hat methods, depending who you were. And it was fun. And so we started doing that on the side while I was working at the landscape company. We would do just for a lot of local businesses, do SEO. And by doing SEO, I learned I had to actually edit people's websites. So reach back to some of those coding classes I had taken, but then also learned WordPress and other, some of those like WYSIWYG builders. And so then
WYSIWYG.
WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get builder, just very visual, where you're not having to do HTML and CSS for the entire website.
All right, perfect, thanks.
You got it. Started actually kind of expanding our services beyond SEO to include website builds. And so started to do that. And then I knew I wanted to get out of the landscape industry. It was a fantastic company, but just I knew I didn't want to stay there long term. And so this side business was going fairly well. And so started to transition out, and that's what I ended up leaving the company for and doing that, starting an agency and doing that for a little while. Before I go further, there's something else that happened right at that time that's really key to my product management journey, and that was Colorado, which is where I'm located, every year does this competition called Go Code Colorado, where it's a hackathon style weekend where five cities compete. You come together, and their goal, they deliver all these public data sets that the state of Colorado has, and they want people to develop business apps that will help businesses in the state. So you have this hackathon weekend where you start Friday night, and on Sunday you deliver a pitch of what your application can be. It's pretty loose, like what type of applications you can come up with, as long as you're using some data sets. And so ended up being a part of a team, I knew some developers through some friends, be part of a team for this, did it 2 years, and we ended up winning it the second time I did it. We took first place for a hiring application that we had done, which was around matching employee personality with company culture. That was kind of our concept. And during the time, at this point, I still I never heard of product manager. I didn't know what that role was. I just knew I was really good at kind of validating business ideas and figuring things out or talking to customers. And so that was my role on the team, because I wasn't a developer, I wasn't the designer. And I was a little bit of the project manager in that scenario. And so that happened. I won't get into it too deep, but there's a few things that came up that made us not be able to continue with that project afterwards, which is why I went forward with the agency and ran that for a while. So I was doing that, but then I started to see a little bit of the, I don't know if you want to call it, writing on the wall, where SEO was changing to where everyone was knowledgeable of what SEO was. It was becoming more, you needed long form content, blogs and those type of SEO metrics, which isn't necessarily my specialty. So, and then websites, more and more of these Squarespace, Wix things were coming out where a lot of businesses were just building their own websites. So it didn't seem like a long-term model. And that's when I had a friend reach out about a kind of a product owner role, a product manager role. And when I was looking at the job description, I realized, you know what, this actually combines a lot of my experience. It takes what I was doing in the landscape industry of, meeting with customers, figuring out what they need to be done, and then delivering it and having someone build it. But this is actually just working with developers. And then I could leverage a little bit of my technical knowledge of, you know, the coding I'd done or working with developers during the Go Code project. It combined a lot of those different skill sets I had developed in different areas. And so I ended up taking a product manager role and was at that company for 4 years before ended up moving over to WEX, where I am right now. So definitely a little bit of a roundabout journey, but here we are.
Yeah, that is beautiful, and so much to follow up on. And I'm actually looking at your LinkedIn profile, and it says that you have a Bachelor of Innovation in Business Admin. Could you talk just really briefly, what is a Bachelor of Innovation?
Great question. It is, I graduated from the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and they, a couple years before I started there, they started this BI program, Bachelor of Innovation program. And their goal was to have these kind of cross-discipline degrees that came out of them. And so you could have engineering combined with business, or computer science with business. And so what it did was remove almost all of the like prerequisites that no one is that interested in. I need to be careful. I'm on a podcast. I'm not going to get specifics of what prerequisites people aren't interested in, but it makes your course load just split between two different kind of veins of course study. So my courses, my coding classes actually ended up being able to be transferred in, and then I took a few other engineering courses as part of that degree program. So, and then every semester you end up partnering with a local business and have a team work for them for some project. So it's a fantastic program. A lot of good things have come from it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like it's taking the best of both worlds and combining them together. And it's probably about as perfect of a degree as you can get, I think, for a product manager. So that's
absolutely,
that's awesome. And then as you were describing your time at the landscape company and sort of your role there, I could totally see how you were starting to equate that the talking with customers. Did I get this right? Let me prototype and iterate this on you. Okay, now I need to lead this team of diverse experts who I can't do any of their jobs, but they're gonna deliver this great product for me. So that was some wonderful experience. And then going to this Go Code Colorado contest, like, how did you said you worked with some developers, you worked with a designer, you weren't a developer or a designer, but how did you get connected to this team and first get involved in this particular contest?
Yeah, I was, there is a co-working space in Colorado Springs where I'm located in, and I had been connected to it just because of some of the freelance work I was doing. And so had kind of been working out of there and met a few of these people there. And it was actually the host site for the Colorado Springs City for the competition. And so, to be honest, the first year, my one friend and I, we showed up just because there was the promise it was free to do and there's free food all weekend. And when you're young and in your 20s, that's about all the motivation you need to show up somewhere.
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So there's this moment that you talk about it, and I want to talk about this because I think there are a few of our listeners that might come to these moments. There's this moment where your computer security and your words were, "This is not for me," right? Yeah. And then you said something fascinating from my mind. It's not the same way my brain works, and I'm not going to enjoy this. So talk to us a little bit about that moment. What helped you to realize that? And then what were kind of some factors that went into place of what other options did you have, and what else did you try, and what else did you think about?
Sure. So yeah, the question around how did I realize that this isn't how my brain works? I think one thing I'm very good at is teaching myself different skills. I enjoy a lot of different hobbies, or kind of niching down and becoming, you know, slightly obsessed with something for a few months, and trying different things out. And I, when it came to the, you know, the coding, I love the concept of being able to write my own code and build my own app or website. It's very appealing to me. You know, years later, I tried to teach myself iOS because I still was like fascinated by it. But when I was taking those classes, I could see other people around me who this was a lot of their first introduction to coding, and they could just connect it. They could write, you know, some lines of code, and then they'd move on to the next thing, and they could just connect the pieces from what bit they had written the week before. And to me, every time it was like, I need to go back and I need to look at that code. It was like never from memory that I could try to put these things together. And so just seeing some people naturally thrive in that, and then seeing how hard that struggle was within myself made it click. Like, you know what? I don't think my mindset is right for this. I think I could force myself to do it, but it's not, you don't want to force yourself to do something that you hope to make a career out of one day.
So keep going with this, because I think this is great. This is not for me, but what is, right? Yep. What's that next step? What were the other options that you looked at, and why did you decide to do the one that you did?
Sure, yeah. So and I think I got a little lucky here. I mentioned I took that entrepreneurship course that first semester, and we had a project to put together a whole business plan for a fake business. And to me, doing that project, I loved it. Like, I would just naturally dive into it and want to figure it out. I wanted to do the research. I wanted to figure out, how do we put together a business plan? How do we put some cost analysis around this? Like, it was easy and fun to do. It's what I was drawn to do. And so having that and extreme comparison to like the coding class, that was, you know, the next one after, having those two comparisons right in front of me made that a lot easier of a decision. I don't think that's always the case though for people. I think you could have that moment where you realize, you know what, this isn't for me. And you might not know what that next thing is right away. And that's where you just got to be, you gotta be patient. You gotta start just putting feelers out there and exploring and trying some things to see what you might actually love doing.
Yeah, I love that you say that. And I feel like a lot of us as product professionals have sort of experimented with different careers before we kind of find product and it fits, right? Like you say, it's easy and it's fun to do, and it's what we're drawn to do. So that's beautifully said. I also want to go to this moment, and you almost kind of breezed over it, but you had a friend who said, hey, here's this product owner, product manager role. And you were looking at the job description, and then you kind of realized, out of all of these things, this combination of skills, dive into that a little bit more for us. Like, what was it in the job description that you realized, yes, this is for me. Finally, I found something that's for me years after I've graduated college. But help us understand a little bit of that job description and how you knew that you had found your place.
The first part is the friend was one of the developers on that GoCo team. So what was helpful for me was him seeing some of those aspects in me. So he had worked with product owners before, and seeing how I was, you know, interacting with the team, he could see some of the skills or things and point my attention towards that. So that was really helpful right there to start there. I think looking at the job description, you know, I can't remember exactly right now what was on that job description, but it was a lot of figuring out customer needs, working on this product manager role. Actually had some of the products were WordPress sites, which actually was a easy connection for me because I had done some WordPress development. and then just the project manager elements that every product manager has. You know, we have some of those skills that need to transfer of determining what's coming up next and prioritizing work. So I could read through each of those and think of examples from my past that fit each one of those.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so let's keep going on these lines a little bit, but tell us a little bit about like that hiring and that interview process. Cause I think up to this point, you said you still didn't know that product management even was a thing, was a discipline, right? So how did you prepare yourself for this interview process? So much so that somebody decided, you convinced somebody to take a chance on you as a first-time product manager. So tell us a little bit about that process.
Yep. Yeah. And I want to start off by saying something that I remembered about that job description. For this company, one of the requirements was that you had worked on products that or websites that had like over 1 million monthly users, because that was their user base, or that's the sites they were working on. And I didn't have that. And so that was a concern for me applying to this role. I just wanted to bring that up because I know this is an issue when people are looking for jobs, that if you don't meet 100% of the requirements, you don't think you should apply for it. And so I still went and applied for it. And in the interview process, I was fully honest about that. You know, my policy is I'm going to be truthful. I'm not going to make stuff up about to try to inflate things. I was just honest. You know, this is, I could say, the biggest site I had worked on, but I was like, I haven't come close to those size of numbers. But
I just want to say real quick, sorry, John, but that is huge. I was actually talking to an aspiring product manager the other day, and he said, well, every job description asks for like 2 years of product experience. How am I ever going to get that, right? And it was just kind of like, well, just because it's a bullet point on a job description doesn't mean that it's a hard requirement, right? Like, go for it anyway. And I really love that you've said that, like, man, I didn't meet this 100%, but I went for it anyway. And now you're about to tell us how you leaned a little bit on your experience and convinced them. So I won't interrupt you again. Sorry.
You're totally fine. In the interviews, I knew my greatest strength to show was that I am a fast learner, and that I've succeeded in different things that I've learned, or different roles that I've been in. And so as I've told my story, right, it's pretty diverse, with going, you know, landscape, which isn't technical, to then starting an SEO and then doing GoCode. Those are a number of different areas, but I could show that when I'm in a role, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to learn this. I'm going to execute on it. So I needed them to look at those traits in me a little bit more than the experience. So really kind of pulling out those examples, even if they weren't product related examples, I could pull out different things that would show that I would excel in this role. And that actually, you know, years later, I talked with my then boss. I was interviewing against someone that definitely had product experience, but he took a little bit of a, you know, a gamble on me, because I tried to make the case that I'm going to do well in this role. I'm going to work hard, and I can learn the bits that I don't know right now.
That's awesome. It kind of goes along what you said earlier with you coming into this role and you've combined all these skills that you've learned in your previous positions into this product role. And maybe we can come back to that in just a minute, but I do want to ask something. So you're on this team that in college that creates a business case. You're on a team of GoCode in Colorado. You're working in a co-working space. This seems to have a little bit of a theme for me, and I'd like to talk about that. Is it seems like you positioned yourself, maybe not deliberately, to be in the right place at the right time. And so how can up-and-coming product managers do that? How can they position themselves to be in the right place at the right time? With the right people. What are some of those things that they could do?
I really like that question. I think the wrong answer a lot of the times, I'll start with the wrong answer. I think the wrong answer a lot of the times is what people do, which is try to just go crazy networking. And the networking that's The networking that's not effective is when everyone's just trying to get something from someone else. It's like those networking events where everyone shows up with an agenda of what you're, you know, you're just trying to see what everyone's really after. That networking, I don't think is very effective. I think the right way to do this and to put yourself in places is to, and this kind of comes into one of the things I think is really good about what I really look for in product managers is curiosity. So becoming really curious about a lot of different things. And so whether that's going to different events or meetups or things, just that you have a slight little bit of curiosity in and just getting to know people. So not going there to try to, you know, land the job or meet the connection at the company that may hire you, but just putting yourself in a network of people or around a lot of people as often as you can, just to meet people. One, I think that helps explore a lot of different, when you talked about just, you know, about finding things that you're passionate about or finding things that you're really interested in, just being a curious person and doing that, I think helps a lot. And so, a lot of my, you know, connections at the co-working place would be on the team. I was just kind of curious about this, so I'm just going to be a part of it. I had no clue at that point that it would lead to product management or a job or anything like that. But I was just trying to put myself in a number of different, as many places as I could during that time.
Yeah, I love the idea of curiosity, right? And that comes up so often on this podcast. You said that in both Ash and I, we kind of, you know, grinned because that comes up so often. And I think it is a true principle. It is, I believe, number one trait of great product managers is that curiosity. And so I love this idea of if you're just curious about something, go and explore that and go meet other people who are curious about that too. And you never know what connections will be made later on. And especially contrasting that to just going to a network event, you know, and saying, hey, how are you going to help me? You know, sort of thing like that. Very, very different to say, hey, how do we learn together? And you've got skills and I've got skills. How do we put those skills together, you know, and go win, go code Colorado, right? And that's awesome. And like, you went to go code Colorado and you probably never knew that you would make a friend there who I'm going to guess advocated really hard for you to be a product manager, right? Convinced you, saw those traits in you, and probably talked to that hiring manager and said, take a chance on this guy. You know, I mean, he can learn and he's great, but you have that friend on the inside, right? And that's wonderful.
Right. And I think the one thing to point out here with curiosity and putting yourself in a number of different places, it's easy to look back and see those successes, which are very true, but I didn't list in my story all the different side projects or different things that maybe I explored for a month or two, or you know, I had different things that I was probably involved in for 3 or 4 months at different times that ended up going nowhere, right? But I probably could look at each of those and see how maybe it led to the, you know, the next thing. So failure is definitely part of it. But I think that's being a curious person is you're okay exploring something, even if you don't know what the end result is going to be with it. And a lot of times it might be nothing, or it might just be some knowledge you hang on to for later on.
I love this concept that you've introduced. And for want of better words, I've called it value networking, right? Where you're actually providing value as you network rather than absorbing during that networking phase. The one thing that you've done over the last year is provided value for others as you've kind of written a book. So I'd love you to tell us a little bit about this book for product managers and how that came about and what were your goals here as you wrote that?
Yeah, so the book came from the book is called Every Product Manager's First 90 Days. That's the book. And it came out of my first role. I eventually moved up a little bit and was able to hire a couple junior product managers and bring them on. And I realized that when I was hiring them and then beginning to train them, that there was nothing out there for how to teach someone to be a product manager. One of them came from a little bit of a product background. The other one came from, like me, from no product background. And so I had my own experience of starting a product job and how the training went for that, and then training two people. And so it was a lot of kind of trial and error with these two people, figuring out how do I teach them to do a portion of my job, or actually, and broadly speaking, how to do product and new product well, which I think we're all still learning and trying to improve on that. But after I trained them, I realized, you know, there's nothing out here, and there needs to be a resource that people can use just to help navigate their first 90 days at a company. And so I'm not, you know, this 20-year experienced product manager. I didn't go about writing the book to teach people how to do product management. You know, I say that in the book. My goal is for people to teach and learn themselves. And so the book's broken down into all different areas of, you know, knowing your team, knowing your numbers, knowing your stakeholders. And it's set up for people just to go and really find the information for themselves. So it's a lot of exercises, it's a lot of questions, just to set that framework and have a plan for learning during their first 90 days. And so that's why I decided to write it, just to be able to help other product managers navigate those first 90 days, because they're hard, right? Anytime you start a new role, it's hard. And I think especially for product managers, it's extra hard, because product varies from company to company. And so no matter how much you've studied product management or even worked a product manager job, when you start a new role, you have a lot to figure out in order to be effective. I use an example in the book of, you know, I think if you're a nurse, or even if, you know, if I look back on like the landscape technicians that I worked with, if they switch companies, they have a new environment to figure out. But those core skills, like, they're still doing the same job function. And it's very different for product managers, because your product's completely different at a different company. So you're using some of the same frameworks and skills, but you have so much more of a learning curve when you start your first 90 days.
Yeah, that's well said. Where could listeners find your book if they were interested?
They can find it on Amazon. That's the best place.
And it's called Every Product Manager's First 90 Days, right?
That is correct.
All right. Fantastic. So let's wrap things up a little bit, John. We like to finish with this question. Why should someone choose product management as a career?
For me, it was that I would get to have a lot of variety in my day in and day out, but then also get to influence and build different things that actually impact people's lives. So that's the joy I get out of it, and why I find it a really fulfilling job. I think it's one of the most satisfying feelings to have gone from a whiteboard, you know, crazy wireframe mock-up to a few months later actually be using whatever that end product is. And then the step further is actually hearing stories of people and how it's helped them in some way in their life. And so to be a part of that process and to help that go through, I think is one of the best reasons to be a product manager.
Thanks for listening today. These people's stories are incredible. Each one is unique and comparable all at the same time. We hope you enjoy them as much as we do. As product managers, we are always looking for feedback. So please don't hold back. Let us know how we are doing. Before you go, please consider subscribing. Also, give us a rating. It really helps this podcast reach an even greater audience.